Good morning. It's my custom, excuse me, I'm getting over a sinus cold, so I'll try not to clear my throat too much. But anyway, every year I pray and ask the Lord for a prophetic word for the year. And as I prayed this year, I actually got a word that's one of the central issues of our Christian life. And it's our need to consistently abide in the presence of the Lord. And what does that mean? I mean, when we think about it, certain things come to mind. Our need to constantly abide in the presence of the Lord. God is always with us, but are we with Him? Are we seeking to abide in His manifest presence and power day by day, moment by moment? And we're going to talk about the necessity of that. As I thought about it myself, I thought about the fact that really that is the key to any successful ministry I've ever had, is just being in the presence of the Lord and allowing Him to function in that role. So we will attempt to answer two questions in this teaching. Number one, how do we abide in God's presence? Number two, what are the results of abiding in His presence? Okay, number one, practically, how do we abide in the presence of the Lord? 1 John 2, verse 24. 1 John 2, 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now here we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the teachings of the church, the doctrine of the church. And as we abide in that, we will abide in His presence. So what does it mean to abide? To abide is not just to read or to listen to the ministry of the Word, but to live it out daily. Practically, to put into practice what you've read and what you've heard. Okay, look at John 15, 9 through 10. John 15, 9 through 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So the Word of God says we have to keep His commandments to abide in His love. So we have this word, keeping the commandments, abiding in His love. It has to do with practically doing what the Word of God says and the teachings of the church. We're to be a doer of the Word of God and not a hearer only. And you've heard this verse many times, but it's always good to hear it again. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It always strikes me that it's talking about forgetfulness. I was thinking about, someone asked, you know, there was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, and someone asked you know, well, what happened? He said, well, the Lord really moved. Well, what did the preacher say? He said, I can't remember, but the Lord really moved. You know, we need to remember what the Word of God says and put it into practice. To abide in God's presence, you need to be obedient and not a forgetful hearer, doers of the Word of God. And in this particular verse, it also says, this one will be blessed in what he does. So as we are doers of the Word of God, we are abiding in the presence of the Lord, and we receive His blessing and His favor. That is powerful. His blessing and His favor. To position ourselves in that place. Obedience to the word of God is one of the key ingredients to abiding in the presence of the Lord, which would mean that disobedience is a good way to get out of the presence of the Lord. So what else is necessary to abide in God's presence? Look at Leviticus chapter 22, verse 3. Leviticus 22, verse 3. Of course, you all have this verse memorized. So, Leviticus, that's a tough one. Okay, say to them, whoever of all your descendants throughout your generations who goes near the holy things which the children of Israel dedicated to the Lord, while he has uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. That's pretty clear. To abide in God's presence, we must remain spiritually clean. Now, there's an area of scripture I've shared before, but I'm going to share it again because it really practically opens this up, and that's Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5. Psalm 24, 3 through 5. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? So we're talking about entering the presence of God. Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, according to this psalm, there's three areas that need to be clean to enter into the presence of the Lord. Number one, clean hands. Number two, a pure heart. Number three, to not lift up your soul to an idol. Excuse me. And number four, to not swear deceitfully. Now, the Lord showed me that these actually are four areas of our being. And let's look at them carefully. Clean hands. That's actions. That which we do that we shouldn't do, or that which we do not do that we should do, are actions. Number two, a pure heart, has to do with the motive behind what we do, the purpose behind our actions and our words. Number three, to not lift up your soul to an idol. Now we have to think about this, to not lift up your soul to an idol. The Lord showed me this has to do with our thoughts. Someone once said, that which possesses your thoughts is what you worship. Boy, that's hard. I remember someone once said, that what you're thinking about right now will be in your front yard on Monday morning. And you're like, please, no, don't. You know, we need to really control our thoughts. And actually, that's the battleground. That's where the enemy really attacks is our thoughts. And we talk about fiery darts. I really believe a lot of that has to do with thoughts. Martin Luther said this, whatever your heart clings to and confides in, that is really your God. Same idea. We are only responsible for those thoughts that we cling to and hold on to. We cannot be responsible for all the thoughts that pass through our mind, because again, that has to do with fiery darts. It's those that we accept and hold on to. Number four, the words that we speak. There's a lot of scripture on this in regard to the power of our words, especially as Christians. In Proverbs 18:21, it says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Someone said, you're going to eat your own words. That's basically what it says right there. Power of the tongue. It will eat its fruit. There's power in our words. To abide in God's presence, we must stay clean in each of these four areas by repenting of any known sin. And I think actually it's very practical just to kind of rehearse that. You know, let me think about that. Okay, actions. And you know, think about those areas. and turn those over to the Lord. We need to repent quickly and be specific and complete in our confession of sin. We used to have a saying at the Jesus Inn, you might remember this, some of you who were there, to keep short accounts and full disclosure. Short accounts and full disclosure. If you want forgiveness for a specific sin, you need to be specific and complete. I wrote a booklet called The Gift of Repentance, and this is in the booklet. How broad should our confession be? First, we need to give a full, specific confession of the transgression to the Lord. But this is the other hard part. We should then go to those who've been involved or affected by the sin and again make a specific confession of our responsibility in the area transgressed. I had something happen. I can't remember exactly what it was right now, but it had to do with something I gave place to. And there was another brother there at the time, and I had to go to him and ask for his forgiveness for having done that. We have a responsibility not only to ourselves and the Lord, but also those with whom we have to do. If you want forgiveness for specific sin, be specific and complete. In 1 John 1:9-10, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession and repentance are the only thing that will bring God's forgiveness and bring change in our lives. It can be very, very painful at times, but it's very worth it. We need to walk in a spirit of repentance to abide in the presence of the Lord. That's really good. We need to be quick in our repentance. As a young Christian, every night I'd examine my heart, ask the Lord to forgive me of different things, and I don't remember how he communicated this to me, but it was basically, you know, if you do it during the day, you wouldn't have anything left over at night. You know, basically, as it occurs, as God brings it to your mind, get rid of it. Besides sin, we need to also remove anything that disturbs or hinders our relationship with the Lord. I've taught on that specifically at times, but this basically has to do with things in our lives that hinder our relationship with the Lord. And it seems that in every individual, it might be different. There are certain things that the Lord allows some people to do that he won't allow you to do. You can't judge your walk by someone else's walk. God knows your weaknesses. He knows the areas that he's dealing with you in. And those are the kind of things we're talking about. D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, once said this, anything that interrupts our communion with God, that hinders the progress of the spiritual life, that chills our affection for Christ, anything that does that, we ought to give up. We ought to give up. I was thinking, you know, I love football, I'll tell you what, and I can get really involved in football. And, you know, you can watch 3-4 games a day. You know, my wife said, do we have to watch another one? I said, well, you know, it's the 49ers. You know? But anyway, so, but what I realized is, and I found myself doing this, in the midst of watching that football, I'd kind of back up and say, Lord, you know, watching the game, I'm communing with the Lord. I'm not going to abandon my relationship with the Lord to watch football. Does that make sense? But you have to purpose to do that. It has to be an act of your will in any kind of circumstance like that. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't be watching it. If Jesus can't be with you in that, you shouldn't be in that place. Evan Roberts, the young man that God used to initiate the 1904 Welsh Revival, had 4 points for revival, and one of them was this. Is there anything in your life that is doubtful? Anything you cannot decide whether it is good or evil? He said, away with it. We need to be willing to sacrifice anything that is questionable for the sake of abiding in God's presence. Psalm 140, verse 13, says this, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." We need to be spiritually clean before God to abide in his presence. Okay, what are some practical things? And these things would come to your mind probably as well. What are some practical things we can do to help us abide in his presence? Look at Psalm 95, verse 2. Excuse me. Psalm 95, verse 2. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Psalm 100, verse 2. Psalm 100, verse 2. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." And then in verse 4 of Psalm 100, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." So worship and thanksgiving are two things that cause us to enter into and help us abide in the presence of the Lord. That's one of the reasons we have worship in our service, is to enter into the presence of the Lord. And that's why we need to consciously enter into worship and participate in that. And it ushers in the presence of the Lord. This is another one. Praying in the Spirit helps cause us to abide in the presence of the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. We're going to be talking here especially about prayer. Romans 8, 26 through 27. "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us." Then it goes on and it says, "He searches the hearts. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." When we pray in the Spirit, in our heavenly language, the Holy Spirit is praying through us according to the will of God. When the Holy Spirit is praying through us, the presence of the Lord is made manifest. I remember as a young Christian, before I learned anything about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that whenever I was around anyone that would pray in their heavenly language, I could just feel the presence of God. And it was just like, what is that? You know? And there was a reality there, even though I didn't have any understanding at that time about what it was. The presence of the Lord is made manifest. In Jude chapter 20 through 21, Jude 20 through 21. "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Praying in the Holy Spirit not only builds you up in the faith, but it also keeps you centered in the love of God. Praying in the Holy Spirit helps us to abide in God's presence. That's something I use consistently. When I got up this morning, I just started praying in the Spirit because I really needed to be in that place for this message. You know, it can be very practical. I believe this is why Paul was constantly exhorting believers to pray without ceasing. He understood that that was one of the things that helped us abide in the presence of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now it's interesting, he said, do you want to know the will of God? I'll tell you what it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And interesting enough, each one of those three things we've already communicated are things you need to do to help you to abide in the presence of the Lord. It is the will of God, we pray without ceasing, it is the will of God that we abide in the presence of the Lord. We are to be constantly communicating with the Lord, and in doing so, we are abiding in his presence. Now, Brother Lawrence, who wrote a little book called Practicing the Presence of God, he was a French Catholic Carmelite monk. He worked in the kitchen. He had clubbed feet. He was a very humble man. All we know about him is this book. And he said this, that we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him. That it was a shameful thing to quit this conversation, to think of trifles and fooleries. I really like that. Continuous prayer causes us to abide in the presence of the Lord. Okay, number two, what are the results of abiding in his presence? John 15:7-8. And there's actually quite a few verses about this. We're going to just share a few of them. John 15:7-8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Answered prayer is a result of abiding in God's presence and abiding in his word. Let's go a little further. 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So here we have two things. One is abiding in him, abiding in the word, but also it says that we have to pray according to his will. Abiding in God's presence puts us in a place where God can guide our prayers according to his will. That's practical. And that really makes it more reasonable than just thinking you can just ask for whatever you want and get it. Makes it very clear. When we pray according to the will of God, we know that he's heard our prayers. We know he's answered our prayers. John 15:1-6. John 15:1-6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Abiding in the Lord's presence causes you to bear fruit. Fruitfulness is a natural process which comes through abiding in his presence. So it's almost like, whether you like it or not, if you abide in his presence, you're going to bear fruit. And it says, without him, we can do nothing. John 8:31-32. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The word of God is the truth. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's the priestly prayer of Jesus in chapter 17 of John. If you abide in the word of God, you will abide in his presence. And when you are abiding in his presence, you experience true freedom. True freedom. I don't know. That's exciting to me. true freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom in the presence of the Lord. There is true deliverance from bondage and oppression in the presence of the Lord. One of the things I pretty consistently pray when we have our elders' time before the service is that during the service, the Holy Spirit would move in such a way through worship or the ministry of the word or through some other means and would bring healing and deliverance to our people, because that's where it occurs, in the presence of the Lord, through the ministry of the word, through worship, through the presence of the Lord, there is a release from bondage, healing, and deliverance. What are some other results of abiding in his presence? Just verse by verse, Psalm 16, verse 11, 17, verse 1, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In God's presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Psalm 73:28. "As for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge." The nearness of God is your good, and his presence is a place of refuge. We're going to get into some things about the peace of God, which I just really relish. In Exodus 33, verse 13 through 14, and this was when Moses was talking to the Lord. He said, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And the Lord said to him, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. There is rest in the presence of the Lord. St. Augustine of Hippo once said, "You have made us for yourselves, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." Only in God can we find true rest, in the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, 9 through 10. Hebrews chapter 4, 9 through 10. "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." Oswald Chambers, a 19th century English pastor, wrote the devotional "My Utmost for His Highest." He said, "Resting in the Lord does not depend on external circumstances at all, but it depends upon your relationship with the Lord. We can only enter God's rest by entering his presence. It does not depend on external circumstances. You can only find true rest in the presence of God." Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. Acts chapter 3, 19 through 20. "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Refreshing comes from repentance and entering into the presence of the Lord. Now peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Perfect peace comes from keeping your mind stayed upon the Lord, from abiding in his presence. In John 14, 27 through 28, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In Philippians 4, 7, it says, "It's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. God's peace is a peace that surpasses all understanding. There was a Presbyterian pastor in the 1800s, a missionary writer. His name was Arthur Tappan Pearson. He said, "The peace of God is an external calm. It lies so deeply within the human heart that no external difficulty or disturbance can reach it. And anyone who enters the presence of God becomes a partaker of that unperturbed, undisturbable calm." What a reward for entering the presence of God. The peace of God can only come through abiding in the presence of the Lord. Finally, Psalm 31, verse 20. Psalm 31, verse 20. "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them silently in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." God's presence is a place of refuge and safety. There is protection in the presence of the Lord. Let me just summarize what we covered in these scriptures. Number one, how can we abide in God's presence? By abiding in His Word, through obedience, by keeping spiritually clean, repentance, worship and giving thanks, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying without ceasing. Number two, what are the results of abiding in His presence? Fruitfulness, joy, peace, rest, pleasure, blessings and favor, refreshing, freedom, power, answered prayer, and protection. I want to close by reading you a psalm. It's one of the psalms that I recommend to people when I'm ministering to them who have either fear or different issues going on. I said, you go to this, you read this out loud to yourself. And it's Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And in verse 1, it gives the key. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Only your eyes shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation." The blessings of abiding in the presence of the Lord are beyond measure. God desires us to abide in His presence. We need to abide in the presence of the Lord daily, moment by moment. In this, truly, this discipline, the will of God is made manifest in our lives. If you want safety, if you want protection, if you want peace, if you want rest, if you want healing, if you want deliverance, seek to abide in the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.